place this morning. Let's prepare our hearts and minds to worship this day. Thursday as well. The plan is for the first two Sundays in February, February 6th and 13 to remain virtual for our time of worship gatherings, as we are doing this morning, 11 a.m. on Sunday mornings via Facebook Live. Also, during those times, it's a time to for our Sunday school classes. They choose to meet virtually as well. Then, hopefully, on the third Sunday in February, on February 20th, our plan is hopefully to return to worship in the sanctuary in person. Also, that service will continue to be streamed on Facebook Live as well. And hopefully, by the beginning of March, we'll join back together in person for Sunday school. So all those details are in the newsletter. All those were in the email I sent out earlier this week. So please take special note of those. Be in prayer for all those that are battling COVID right now. Our prayers are for those, not just those in our church family, but the many family and friends that are touched by the virus at this moment. Last week, you heard me talk about what our February missions gathering is. First, thank you for all the support for our food pantry during the month of January. For the month of February, we're going to be supporting the food pantry, the closet that Salvation Army has as they seek to distribute food to the community with members in need and families that are in need. We're going to collect items, non-perishable items. All the items that they place in their boxes that they hand out on a daily basis are listed in your bulletin and in the newsletter this month. So please take special note of those. So when you go to the grocery store this week, pick up a few of those items and swing them by the church. We're going to have our collection bin outside the church Monday through Thursday during the week. All you have to do is drive up and drop them off there. Or if you just want to come in and speak to the staff members, I encourage you to do so as well. But drop those items off during the month of February. Also, you heard me talk about the love offering that we'll be taking up now on February 13th, 2 weeks from today. Since we will be virtual that Sunday, I encourage you to bring by a love offering for Carson and Laura Fushii, our CBF missionaries that are in Japan. Carson and Laura are doing tremendous ministry work overseas, and we pray for them on a daily and a weekly basis. But this is one special way that we can support them in their ministry. That love offering, we're going to send to them at the end of February, but we encourage you to get that offering into us in the next couple weeks. Designate on your offering envelope, or bring a separate envelope and drop that off for Carson and Laura. As we speak about Carson and Laura, too, just an update on their ministry and an update on their daughter, Ada. Ada had surgery this past week in Japan. She had follow-up surgery on her mouth and jaw. This is surgery she had a couple years ago, and now this is the follow-up surgery that she had just this past week. The surgery went well. She is recovering well in the hospital, and she'll be in the hospital just a couple more days, and hopefully she'll get to return home in just the next couple of days. So we lift up prayer, special prayer this morning for Ada. Lift up special prayer for Carson and Laura as they tend to her and take care of her, and look forward to the continued healing from that surgery procedure that Ada had this past week. This morning, as we gather to worship, we lift praise to God for who He is and who He's called us to be, the united body of believers here at First Baptist Elon. So may we lift prayer and praise to Him this morning as we thank Him for this gracious calling that He's placed on our hearts. Let's stand and worship this morning.
I encourage you to stand up off your couch or chair and sing with us. So let's worship together and sing, "Rise Up, O Church of God."
scripture reading is Psalm 71, reading verses 1 through 6 this morning. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Rescue me and deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge, to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of evil and cruel men. For you have been my hope, O sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. From the birth of each one of us to the last day we take a breath on this earth, we're called to lift up praise to our eternal Father, to the Son who came and provided us salvation, and to the Spirit who provides us guidance each and every day. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning, giving Him thanks and praise this morning. In you alone we put our hope, God the Father, the Creator and Sustainer, who gives all good things, seen and unseen. In you alone we put our hope, God the Son, Savior and Redeemer, who died for our sins and rose again. In you alone we put our hope, God the Spirit, Teacher and Comforter, who moves us to proclaim, I love thy kingdom, Lord. In you alone we put our hope this morning and every morning. We lift this prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is I Love Thy Kingdom, Lord. Let's stand and worship together. Come to dedicate ourselves to also setting a godly example.
day she might come to trust Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. Scripture tells us that the importance of passing on the lessons of our faith to our children. Listen to these words from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 7. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you give up, when you get up. Chip and Christine, as parents entrusted with this life so precious, do you, in the presence of God and this church, solemnly dedicate Vivian to the Lord?
We do.
Do you promise to raise Vivian in faith and teach her all that you know of grace and of your faith?
We do.
Now, First Baptist Elon, for those that are watching us virtually and for the worship leaders behind us, do you agree to faithfully model godly lifestyles for Vivian and to invest in her life in positive ways?
We do.
We do.
Now I would ask that the family join with me and the congregation join with me in the responsive reading that's printed in your bulletins. It also will be on the screen behind me. God has entrusted you with a magnificent responsibility.
We will help you.
Again, God has given the gift of life.
We will protect and nurture you beyond that.
We will pray for you.
A child is like a clean slate. It knows no right nor wrong.
We dedicate ourselves to Vivian and teaching her the ways of Christ.
We will be with you. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow.
This morning we're going to lift up a prayer for Vivian. Now, Miss Ellie, I told you I was going to need your help this morning. Can you help me this morning? No? All right. I asked her if she would think about it, and she decided. I said, this morning we're going to lift up a prayer for Vivian, Ellie's little sister. I know she takes care of it, right? Yeah, she does. I know she does. That is important. She does a great job. If you didn't hear her, she checks on her when she cries and makes sure she's doing okay. That's right. So this morning, we're going to lift up a prayer for little Miss Vivian. And we lift this prayer up to her this morning. This is a prayer not just for one of us, but for our entire congregation to pray for and this family, because they have a special responsibility, a responsibility they take with their whole hearts in faith. So let's pray this morning. Righteous Father, we rejoice with this family for the life of this precious child, Vivian Rose Barnett. Thank you for blessing Chip and Christine and Ellie with this special gift. Thank you for blessing our congregation with this special child. I pray that you will surround Vivian with your things and that she may grow in you and in your ways. I pray for Chip and Christine. Fill them with your wisdom so that they may raise her in the way that she should go, so that even when she is old, she will not depart from it. Vivian, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And I think Miss Vivian just said, amen. Amen. Yes, you did. Chip and Christine, this morning will be a morning that Miss Vivian will not remember. Amen? Amen. But this is a day that God remembers. And this is the day that you have a special responsibility to remind her of when she grows older. Remind her of all the wonderful things, and thank goodness for Vivian, that we can remind her of this day as well. But today we're going to present y'all with something to help remind her of that. Yay has a special gift for you. One is a certificate. This is something to place in her baby. This is something to put beside all the other accomplishments she's already achieved. But years down the road, open up to the certificate and remind her of the promises that you made to her today and the promises the church made to her this morning. Also, we have a Bible. This is a Bible that hopefully that she will learn from. It will also be a Bible that she can play with. But it's also a Bible, if you look at the inside of the label of it, it's a Bible that she will also carry with her when she returns around now, when she gets married, or her carrier, as when she becomes a bride. So we pray that for many years to come, she will grow in the faith of the Lord. We know that she has a big sister that's going to help her every step of the way, wonderful parents and grandparents that are going to help her every step of the way. And we can't help but be excited for the way that we can help you in the many days and weeks to come. God bless you. God bless your family. And we pray for you, especially pray for patience. Amen.
Before we sing our next song, we're going to sing Seek Ye First. This is one of my favorite lullabies. It not only teaches our young ones about seeking the heart of Christ above all, but it also is an amazing reminder for our own hearts. May we seek Him above all else in our lives now. Let's sing Seek Ye First.
Thank you.
word and prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, may our lives be ones that exhibit the qualities, character, and fruit of the Spirit that you desire from all your children. When we fall short, Father, we ask your forgiveness. Give each of us a Christ-like compassion for others so that our lives may be poured out as a drink offering of sacrifice and service to your praise and glory. When we fall short, Father, we ask your forgiveness. Give each of us a quiet disposition and a peaceable spirit whose singular desire is to do your will. When we fall short, Father, we ask your forgiveness. May we always find your loving, forgiving arms embracing us, guiding us, challenging us to be the creations that you would have us to be. This we ask in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Again, let me say good morning, First Baptist Elon, and thank you again for joining us for worship on this January Sunday morning. It is another cold Sunday morning here in January, but I did see that the sun is supposed to pop out this week and get a little bit warmer a little bit later on this week. And my prayer is that all this snow and all this ice melts so we don't have to see it for a little bit while. Now, I do have one of my worship leaders over here that said she was praying for a little bit of snow tonight so school goes late tomorrow morning, but Pam, I won't tell anybody who it was, okay? But anyway, we are glad to join again, once again, the sanctuary for worship this morning. We've had a blessing of worship already with singing praise to God and prayers being lifted up. A wonderful special moment with the Barnett family as we dedicated Vivian Rose Barnett, and I pray for their patience for that family. They have two balls of energy in our midst this morning. And now we get to encounter God's word again today to see how he is challenging us during this year, new year, to make connections in 2022, to grow closer to him and to grow as a body of believers here at First Baptist Elon. Now, over the past few weeks, we have identified important connections already that we each have personally and as a body of believers as we seek to best fulfill the mission that God has for us as we enter this new year. In order to grow, we must be connected. First, we must be connected with our Creator, who gives us spiritual strength on a daily basis. And this is only strength that only He can provide. Last week, we talked about our connection with the Koinonia, the body of believers here at First Baptist Elon, because it is through these relationships that we serve the Lord together and we proclaim the gospel. This morning, we examine this third connection that we're called to have, this connection to the community in 2022, specifically how we get involved in ministry as we seek to share Christ's love in our community. So the question is how do we get involved in ministry? Now that may sound like an easy question with a quick, easy response. You just get involved. You just get involved. It is simple as that. However, if we look at Scripture and follow God's plan for our individual lives and the call for our congregation, the answer is a little bit more specific than you just get involved. Each of us can discover our own place of ministry by taking five important steps. And what I like to call them are the five P's, okay? That is the letter P. Five P's of ministry. First, there is passion. We have to find our passion. Second, there has to be prayer. Third, there has to be the role of pastors in this process. Fourth, there has to be the importance of people. And finally, five, produce. Yes, that's right. You heard me say produce.
And the reason why I say produce is because fruit doesn't start with a P. I had to make it work. So five is produce. This is what is born from our ministry. We're going to look at these five P's in the life of one important New Testament individual this morning to see how it was birthed out of his life. But we cannot forget that there are needs all over the world. There are ministry needs constantly going on in our life today. How do we know where to start? How do we know where to help? That's the question we have to ask ourselves individually and as a congregation. The Lord will lead us through our church family. Because guess what? Every church member is a minister. You heard that right. Every church member is a minister. I remember when my family first started attending First Baptist Elon, that was moons ago, 30 years ago when I was a teenager. One of the first things that jumped out to me that's still ingrained in my mind was one of the lines at the very bottom of the weekly worship bulletins that we received. It said, ministers, all the people. All the people. It didn't have one name out beside it. It didn't have two names out beside it. It said, ministers, all the people. This is a powerful statement. Each of us is called to carry out ministry through the church into the world. This is how we become connected to the community. Each of us, all of us combined, are the people of God called to do the work, the ministry of God. This is ministry in a nutshell. So this morning, we're going to look at one, and he's not the only one, we're going to look at one of the best biblical examples of a person who was connected to ministry throughout his entire faith life. This is the figure of Timothy. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, turn with me to Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 19 through 30 this morning. The words of this passage will be on the screen behind me, but I encourage you to follow along in your Bibles. Take notes in your Bible. It's okay to write in your Bible, no matter what anybody might have told you, as long as it's your Bible and not somebody else's. Amen. Make sure you take notes alongside and see what Paul had to say about Timothy. As we read this letter this morning, listen to Paul's love for Timothy and his confidence in him to carry out ministry for the Lord. Reading Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 30 this day. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me, and I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am in the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, and I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give him. This morning, we're going to focus on Timothy and not Epaphroditus. There's a whole other sermon about Epaphroditus that you'll hear sometime in the near future. But let's talk about Timothy this morning. Timothy spent his entire life dedicated to the ministry to the Lord. Let's learn about his history a little bit. A native of Lystra, Timothy was probably saved during Paul's first missionary journey, as described in Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. He then traveled with Paul and Silas on their second missionary journey, and during his ministry with Paul, Timothy remained in Thessalonica to serve as an early church leader for the church. Now, let me tell you, this was not the only church that Timothy served in, because he hopped all around the place. Wherever Paul needed someone to go, he sent Timothy. He later joined Paul and Silas in Berea when the church was formed and ready to lead on its own. Later in his ministry, Timothy was used as a messenger between Paul and Thessalonica, going back to the church where he served as a leader. He was sent to both pass on Paul's teachings and greetings, but also to serve as an encourager for the church there that was going through a significant, difficult time during the church, during that time in the first century. Read 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and the encouragement they received was from Timothy. Timothy was passionate about the Christian church. That's where his passion was. And he served in so many different roles to see its success. Timothy was also used as a messenger between Paul and the church at Corinth. When the Corinthians had numerous theological and ethical questions, Timothy was sent as that early teacher and guide to answer those questions. Later in the book of Acts, Timothy emerges at Ephesus as another church guide. He, along with six others, spearheaded Paul's journey to Troas, as reported in Acts chapter 20. Finally, Timothy was there when Paul was in prison in Rome. He was the confidant and comforter for Paul when he was going through difficult times. And this is when Paul wrote Ephesians, Colossians, Philemon, and the letter we read this morning, Philippians. You're talking about a biography. You're talking about a resume of ministry. Timothy had it. Timothy did it all. Timothy was not just highly regarded by Paul, but he was highly regarded by all Christians in the first century. And because of his dedication to the Lord and his diligence in his ministry, the church was changed. But let's ask another question. How did Timothy become such a valuable minister for Christ? It goes back to the five P's. First, Timothy had a passion for God and a passion for the church. He had a burden for the early church, and he dedicated his entire life to see it grow. We should begin to think about ministering where the Lord has given us a burden. When we carry a burden for something, that's God telling us we have a passion for something. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul recalls Timothy sharing with him the love the Thessalonian church had for the community, despite the persecution that they were facing. Timothy was invested in their lives, and he spoke of them with joy and love. As you think about pursuing ministry or needs, wherever you think God may be calling you to go, do you speak with the same love and joy about that opportunity? If you do, guess what? That's your passion. That's your passion. That's your ministry niche. You do not have to get involved with every single ministry that a church might be involved in. Did you hear me? That's a strange thing from hearing from a pastor say from the pulpit. You do not have to get involved in every single ministry that a church is involved in, because you may not be passionate about every single ministry that the church is involved in. But you should be involved, because you should be passionate about something, because that's the way that God works. Just make sure you get involved where you are passionate about, and when you do it with excellence. Do ministry with excellence. Don't do it half-hearted. Don't do it because nobody else will volunteer to do it. Don't do it just because you think you ought to. Do it and you're passionate about that, I want you to remember two simple statements this morning. One is the correct statement, and one is the incorrect statement. The correct statement is this: there is a need that I can meet. That's the correct one. There is a need I can meet. But the incorrect statement is this: I must meet every need. Did you hear the difference? You see, some people can't hear the difference between the two. The correct statement, there is a need that I can meet. The incorrect statement is, I must meet every need. Because guess what? God is not calling you to meet every need, because he's not equipped you to meet every need. That's what he's equipped the body of believers to do. If we follow these simple words of advice, it will prevent us from getting burned out. And that's the reason that over 50% of people leave the church today, is they get burned out. Timothy also spent time with that second P, and that's in prayer. He prayed before, he prayed during, and he prayed after his ministry work. Talked early on about Paul, Timothy knew that every aspect of his ministry must be blanketed in prayer. Before he visited the church at Philippi, he prayed. He prayed with the congregation when he arrived. He prayed for the early church after he returned back to Paul to tell him what was going on in the congregation. Prayer blankets our ministry. Prayer should blanket your personal ministry, and prayer should blanket our church ministry. Missionary Dale Benner once said this: before talking to people about God, talk to God about people. The third P that Timothy modeled that we should remember when approaching ministry is the role of pastors. Now, it is not, listen to me, it is not the job of the pastor to do all the ministry. Amen? 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 Gay gave a big amen. If you didn't hear that, she said a big amen. It is not the job of the pastor to do all the ministry. Remember what I said at the very beginning of this sermon. Each of us are ministers. However, pastors can serve as listening ears, as guides when we feel called to a ministry. When there is something that we are passionate about, talk with us. Talk with myself. Talk with Gay about it. We'll listen. We will provide guidance. We will support you in your passion. We are here to provide spiritual leadership for the church. Timothy played this role when he went to Thessalonica, when he was at Corinth, when he was at Philippi, and the many other early Christian churches that he ministered with and to. He played the role of the pastor, and he played it well. In the role as pastor, he guided their efforts through preaching, through counseling, through discipleship and evangelism, but he did not do all the ministry. He provided guidance for it. That's what pastors are here for, you, and that's what we will do. Now, leading to that fourth P, one of the key roles that Timothy played in the early church involved getting people involved. When ministry takes root and it involves the entire congregation, the next step is to see how we get others involved in that passion. Timothy served as the motivator to the people within the congregation to get involved in the community. And guess what? This leads to connecting to the people. Paul identified burdens in the communities where he started his churches. He shared these burdens with the believers there, and that encouraged them, and they got involved. When you have a burden that is fueled by your passion for ministry, do not keep it to yourself. Don't keep it to yourself. Share your burden with others. Share it with the church. Individually, you might not feel powerful or significant. However, together as the body of believers, we are a mighty army for God. Christian revivalist Vance Havner once said this, and we can experience all this because this is what we've experienced in North Carolina the last 3 weeks. Snowflakes are pretty frail individually. But if enough of them stick together, it can stop traffic. The same is true with ministry. Let your passion motivate others to serve. But do not expect others to fulfill your burden for you. Don't just pass the burden on and that passion to somebody else. Everyone has an opinion. Everyone may be called to a certain passion. And not all of them can be implemented by the church body. But your individual passion can still lead to mighty ministry. And that leads to the final P, which is evident from the fact that 2,000 years later, that we're still talking about Timothy today. And that is the produce, the fruit that was produced from the ministry. The fingerprints of Timothy's ministry and the people that he influenced can be seen across the Middle East, Asia, and even the Christian church where we sit today. Ministry that is rooted in Christ and guided by the previous four P's will lead to fruit being produced in the world. This is how the kingdom of God is built. This is why Timothy dedicated his entire life to the church and the passion that he had for the church, which led to his ministry. This is why you and I are called to do the exact same thing. The produce that ministry produces leads to the ultimate connection with our community that leads to growth. So this morning, I have some questions for you. What are you passionate about? Have you prayed about this passion? Have you sought guidance from the pastors in your church? Have you reached out to other people, fellow brothers and sisters in our congregation, to join you in this passion? Are you ready to produce fruit for the Lord? Now, if you can answer any of these questions this morning, guess what? You are ready to engage in ministry that will connect with the community. In closing, Pastor Mark Prince said this: when it comes to community ministry, we finally put our program where our mouth is. Instead of expecting the community to come to church, we decided to take the church to the community. Are you ready to take our ministry to our community? If so, guess what? Let's get connected and let's go. Let's pray. Father, thank you for sending us such a powerful biblical model of Timothy, who provided and showed what the five P's of ministry can be, what it looks like when we live them out on a daily basis. Father, I know there is so much passion within our congregation. Each one of us has a passion to serve you. Father, may that passion lead to further growth. May it lead to prayer and talking and discussing with the pastors here at First Baptist Elon. May it lead to bringing people together to produce fruit in our community, to make connections in the outside world. Father, that's what we're called to do. That's how we build up the kingdom of God. This is how we grow. And we each have a part. Each one of us has a part. Father, may we take it with responsibility. And may we pick it up and go with it, just as Timothy did so many years ago. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who has called us to build the kingdom. His name we pray. Amen. come to our time of closing today. Maybe this morning you've heard something that I've said. Maybe it's been during one of the songs that have been sung, or maybe one of the prayers, or just seeing a family come and dedicate their child to the Lord. Whatever may have spoken to you today, if today's the first time you recognize what Jesus Christ has done for you, I encourage you to talk with me today. Talk with me, call me this afternoon. The contact information is on the church website. Find a way to get in touch with me. Let's talk about the commitment that you can make to Jesus Christ. Or maybe today you're looking for a group of believers, a body of believers that's seeking to make a difference, to make a connection to the community through the five P's. That's First Baptist Elon. If you're looking for a church home, our doors are always open here. Let me talk to you about what it means to be a part of the brothers and sisters in Christ here in our congregation. Or maybe just today you've been falling off the path of ministry that God is calling you to follow. Or maybe today you've had a spark that's been lit and it's like, you know, that's the passion that I have. Go to him today. Pray about it. Call me this week. Talk to Gay this week about the passion that you have. Let's see what we can do about that passion as we seek to make a difference in this world, as we seek to connect with those outside these walls. We are called to make a difference. We're called to make a difference for the kingdom of God. That's what we're called to do. As we stand and sing our closing hymn, whatever commitment you need to make this morning, make it today. Let's stand and sing this morning.
Thank you.